Well, good morning to you all. If you please take out your Bible, turn to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, we're going to be reading there in just one moment. While you're turning there, I'd just like to say, wow, it is really good to be with you this morning. Such a great crowd and so many great people that I see in the audience today. A lot of visitors too, and we're pleased to have all of you with us. Just such a good time for us to be able to come together, study the Word of God, and more importantly, worship God and remember the death of His Son. Matthew chapter 7, begin reading with me in verse 1, where Jesus says this: "Do not judge so that you will not be judged. For in the way you judge, you will be judged, and by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you." This morning, what I'd like to do is I'd like to spend a little bit of our time talking about the judgments that we make about other people. Now, you and I both know that, or at least many of us understand that when we normally talk about judging, when we normally talk about these verses, that discussion follows a pretty predictable pattern, right? And so normally what happens when we read those verses, the preacher gets up and he says, "You know, there's a lot of people in this world who thinks this passage means that you can never tell anybody they're doing anything wrong," right? And so that's the way it starts. There are a lot of people in the world who believe this, and maybe they'll put a couple pictures on the slide about maybe some celebrity who said something recently about how you should judge not. Or maybe they'll show a statistic about how many people believe it's wrong to say to anybody that they're doing something wrong. Now, of course, they point that out, and then we follow that up by saying that obviously is not what Jesus is talking about here. That could not be possibly what Jesus is trying to teach us. Because Jesus is going to follow that by in the exact same chapter. He's going to follow that by saying in verse 6, "Don't give what's holy to dogs and do not throw your pearls before swine." And so we say, obviously, he's not saying that you shouldn't say somebody is doing something wrong, because eventually we're going to have to make some judgments about some people. He's going to go on in verse 15 and 16 to say, "Beware of false prophets," right? "You shall know them by their fruits." Obviously, we're supposed to make some judgments about some people. And obviously, we got that passage in the book of John, right, where he tells us to judge with righteous judgment. And so that's usually the predictable pattern. The world says we can't say anything to anybody. But Jesus says we have to say some things. We have to make some judgments. And so usually we leave these verses here in Matthew chapter 7 with a really good understanding of what Jesus isn't saying. But brothers and sisters, do we actually know what he is saying? Do we know what his point is here? Do we understand what he's really trying to communicate to us, what he's really trying to teach us? Because I got to tell you, there is a deeper conversation that Jesus wants to have here in Matthew chapter 7. A conversation that goes far beyond whether or not it's okay to tell somebody, "Hey, you're doing something wrong." A question that revolves around how we think about other people and the decisions that we make about the people in our lives. You know, the word judge, it means to determine or discern. To judge somebody means to make a decision about them. To judge means that you decide something about someone, okay? That's what it means to judge, to decide something about someone. And I got to tell you, brothers and sisters, we do that all the time, don't we? Now, a lot of people may say that they don't. "I don't judge at all. I judge not." But we all make decisions about people. We decide some things about some people all the time. You want a good example of that? You ever gone back through your high school yearbook? Right? For some of you, like, you may not be able to look at the pictures anymore. They're too faded, right? I'm just kidding. But no, have you ever gone back through your high school yearbook? You pull that yearbook out and you open it up and you see all the pictures of your classmates. And when you look at each of the pictures of your classmates, those decisions that you've made about them start coming back to your mind, don't they? And so as you look through your high school yearbook, you look at that picture and you say, "Well, that person was talented. That person was smart. That person was troubled." That person was goofy. That person was outgoing. That person was shallow. And maybe even some of those judgments are negative, right? That person was lazy. That person was selfish. That person was mean, right? When you go through those pictures, you start realizing that we make judgments about people all the time. We put them into categories. We decide things about people. We come to conclusions about who they are, what they are, and what sort of person they are. And that's the deeper conversation that Jesus wants to have in these verses. He wants us to think about the way that we think about other people. He wants me to think about how I come to make the judgments that I make. He wants me to think about how I have reached the conclusions that I have reached. He wants me, brothers and sisters, to be careful about the decisions I make about other people. And all of his thoughts really center around that phrase at the end of verse 2, that by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you. Let's read those verses again. Jesus says, "Do not judge so that you will not be judged. For in the way that you judge, you will be judged. And by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you." That's really what the whole verse is about. What he says there, or the whole passage about what he says there at the end of verse 2. It can't stop at the first two words where he says, "Judge not." Because really the understanding comes when you get all the way to the end. By your standard of measure, it will be measured to you. And so what Jesus is saying in these verses is, I want you to think about the way that you judge other people. I want you to think about the way that you measure people. How do you measure others? What kind of measuring stick do you use on the people in your life, the people you encounter? Can I give you a few examples of that? Is there anybody in your life, that you would look at and you would say, that person is an arrogant person? Anybody you know like that? Anybody who you'd say, I've come to that conclusion about that person. They are an arrogant person. They are conceited. They think a whole lot about themselves. What Jesus wants us to do is he wants us to ask ourselves, well, how did I come there? How did I arrive at that conclusion about that person? Did I make that judgment quickly? Just right off the bat? Did I make that judgment because I had a bad first impression and that first impression has colored the entire way I will always view that person? Or did I make that judgment based on a lot of experience with this person, a lot of interactions with them? Or think about this. Is there a person in your life that you might say, that person is bitter and cold and mean? Anybody in your life that you might say that about? Jesus wants us to ask ourselves, well, how did I arrive at that conclusion? How did I come to decide that about that person? Did I make that judgment because she's given me a lot of evidence or she's been really mean to me a lot? Or did I just come to that conclusion because she tends to frown more than most people? Have I considered that there may be other reasons why she frowns? Or why she has the attitude that she has. He wants me to ask myself, how did I measure that person? Or how about this? Is there a person in your life that you think is wicked? That you think just, they don't care about God. They don't care about Jesus. They're only interested in serving themselves. They're just a wicked person. Anybody in your life that you might say that about? And Jesus wants us to ask ourselves, how did I come to that conclusion about that person? Did I come to decide that because there was this one time when I saw them acting in a way that they shouldn't have acted? Have I let that one time when I saw them sinning, when I saw them at their worst, have I let that color my entire impression of them? Have I let that one mistake cause me to think that they're just a completely wicked person? If I use that same measure against myself, would I wish that I were shown greater mercy and understanding? He wants us to ask ourselves, how did I measure that person? How did I come to that conclusion? Jesus says it is important to think about how you measure people. it's important to think about the measuring stick by which you decide certain things about certain people. And he tells us it's important to think about that because, as he said at the end of Matthew 7, verse 2, by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you. The way that you decide things about other people is the way things are going to be decided about you. You know, the other day, Lee and I went to go get our physical done at the doctor's office, and we went together. And of course, when you go to get your yearly physical, your yearly checkup, they always do those things that they always do, right? They weigh you, they measure you, they take your blood pressure and all that. So Lee and I are both sitting in the exam room, and I get up to go get weighed and measured, right? I get up first. And I go and I stand in front of that measuring stick that they've got on the wall. And when she measured me, I was pleasantly surprised because I was an inch taller than I know that I am. I came strutting back into that exam room and I told Leah, I said, I grew. And I was really excited about that. Like, who would have thought? And so then Leah got up. She went to go get measured. She came back into the exam room and she said, guess what? I grew an inch too. And at that point, we knew, well, there must be something wrong with the stick. It's not that both of us grew. It's that there must be something wrong with the stick. Or we were both wearing shoes when we got measured. That could be it, too. But that's the idea. That's the idea. When you use the same stick, you get the same results. Because Leah and I were both wearing shoes, we both were an inch taller when we got measured by the measuring stick. And that's how measurement works. When you use the same stick, you get the same results. And so Jesus says, you need to know, the stick you use to measure other people, that's the stick that's going to be used to measure you. And I think that's true in two different ways. And to be honest, I'm not sure exactly which one of these ways Jesus means here or whether he means both of them. But it is true in two different ways. First of all, the way I measure other people is usually the way that other people judge me. The kind of person I am, the amount of judgmentalism I have toward other people is usually the standard people use when they measure me too. If we judge other people quickly, then other people are going to judge us quickly. If we judge other people harshly, people are going to judge us harshly. If we judge people before we have all the information, people are going to judge us ignorantly as well. If we judge people based on one single impression, one single event, then that's the way other people are going to judge us as well. Brother Chumley, in his commentary on Matthew, which is a fantastic resource, just a great book. He says, judgmentalism invites retaliation. And that's usually how it works. The way that I judge other people is the way that I'm going to be judged by them. But more importantly than that, we need to recognize that God says he's going to judge us in part based on how we judge others. That's James 2 and verse 13, right? For judgment will be merciless to the one who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. I need to think about that. God is going to look at the way I measure other people. He's going to look at the decisions I make about people and how I make them. And he's going to say, in part, I'm going to judge you in the same way. And you need to think about that. If you have no mercy on the people that you see and how you come to make your decisions about them, then God says, I'm not going to have any mercy on you when I come to judge you in the last day. You got to think about that. And so that means that there's a simple question that we have to ask ourselves when it comes to the decisions we make about who people are, what they're about, and what sort of person they are. And that simple question is, would I like to be measured in the same way that I measured them? And that leads to a whole wonderful subset of questions. Like, would I like someone to judge me as quickly as I have judged someone else? Would I like someone to judge me as harshly as I've judged others? Would I want someone to scrutinize me as intensely as I scrutinize all the people around me? Would I want someone to come into my life and try to find fault as much as I try to find fault in the people around me? Or would I consider it fair if someone judged me in the same way that I judged others? Or how about this one? Would I like my history to weigh as much into the decision as I let it weigh into the decision of others. You know, oftentimes the judgments that we make about other people are grudge-based. The decisions that I've made about who you are and what you're like and what you're all about aren't based on who you are now. They're based on what you did 5 years ago. Would I like my past to weigh so much? My past mistakes to weigh so much when other people are judging me, when the Lord is judging me? Would I be satisfied or would I be frustrated with the amount of mercy that was shown to me if I judged others, if I was judged in the same way that I judged others? Jesus reminds us in these verses that by your standard of measure, you will be measured. And the reason we ask those questions, would I like to be measured in the same way that I measured others? The reason we ask those questions is because honestly, guys, honestly, what we typically find is that we show ourselves a whole lot more mercy in our judgment than we show other people. Isn't that true? Haven't you found that to be the case? We are a whole lot more likely to give ourselves a longer leash, a whole lot more likely to show more grace to ourselves than we are to show grace to those that we know, those that we see and interact with. And that's the point that Jesus makes next, starting in verse 3. Read that with me. He says, "Why do you look at the speck that's in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that's in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, 'Let me take that speck out of your eye, and behold, the log is in your own eye,' you hypocrite? First take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye." And in those verses, Jesus paints a memorable picture. He draws a caricature of our sometimes hypocritical and judgmental spirit. He shows us that there's this man with a 2x4 coming out of his eye, and he's sitting there trying to pull the speck out of somebody else's eye. And it's an outlandish picture, something that would never happen in reality. And it communicates a necessary point. That sometimes, not always, but sometimes we have a nasty habit of painstakingly scrutinizing the people around us, while all the while we remain oblivious, blissfully oblivious to our own flaws. And so Jesus says that needs to change. That can't be that way. You can't operate like that. He says, you need to remember that you're going to be measured by the same stick that you use to measure other people. And when we think about that, and when we ask those questions that are up on the screen, when we ask those questions, what it does is it helps us see ourselves in a more realistic light. And it helps us see others in a more realistic light. It forces us to see that often, at the end of the day, we aren't much different. We aren't much different from the people we judge. And it helps us see that oftentimes, the conclusions that I reach about people, he's arrogant, she's bitter, he's lazy, that person's wicked. Oftentimes the conclusions I reach about other people aren't very fair. Oftentimes, if I were judged by the same standard, I would find maybe I'm bitter, maybe I'm a little arrogant, maybe I'm wicked too. And so Jesus wants us to consider that question. By your standard of measure, you will be measured. Would I like to be measured? How would I fare if I were measured with the same stick that I'm measuring others? Now, at the same time, that discussion, it requires a little bit of balance. Because I think a lot of people, but there are many people who would read those verses and listen to that warning about being too judgmental, and they might say, look, I'm going to run to the extreme on this. Like, I don't want to make that mistake. I don't want to be overly judgmental of this other person. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to decide I am never going to have a bad opinion about anybody, right? I'm going to believe the best about everybody. I'm never going to think anything bad about anyone. Now, not only is that impossible, you and I both know that, but it's also unwise. And it's also, Jesus also tells us that it's taking that a little bit too far. That's a bridge too far. We need to have a little balance in this discussion. And that's where verse 6 comes in. Matthew 7 and verse 6, where Jesus balances the first 5 verses by saying, "Do not give what is holy to dogs, and do not throw your pearls before swine. Or they will trample them under their feet, and they will turn and tear you to pieces." And I think what Jesus helps us see in these verses are two very critical things, two very critical things about pearls and swine. He helps us see, first of all, that at some point, my judgment is right. At some point, it is fair and right to have a critical judgment of another person. At some point in my life, there are some people where it's okay for me to say, where it's fair for me to say, you know, that person is arrogant. At some point, it is fair to say that person is wicked. At some point, it is fair to say that person is bitter, or that person is wrathful, or that person is lazy. At some point, that is fair and that is right. And he helps us see this secondly, and maybe more importantly, that at some point, that judgment is necessary. You know, Jesus says, you don't throw your pearls before swine. And oftentimes, the thing we say about that text is, don't throw your pearls before swine because you're going to what? You're going to waste your pearls, right? Those pigs are not going to recognize how important and valuable your pearls are. And so throwing your pearls before swine is a waste of time. But that's not what Jesus says. That may be true. That's not the rationale he uses. Why shouldn't you throw your pearls before swine? Because they're going to turn around and tear you to pieces. And what I take that to mean, brothers and sisters, what I take that to mean is that if we choose to be naive about who people are, then bad people are going to take advantage of us. And bad people are going to hurt us. And bad people are going to hurt people we love. And ultimately, bad people will hurt the Lord's kingdom. You know, you see that, right? We referenced it earlier in Matthew 7 and verse 15, right? Jesus goes on to say this just a few verses later, beware of the false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Grapes are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor figs from thistles, are they? Jesus says, look, you need to know that they're going to be false prophets. They're going to be wolves who are going to come in. And you know what? You should never make judgments about them because that would be wrong. He doesn't say that. He says, you need to know who they are. You need to point them out. You need to recognize them by their fruits. You make sure you handle them right. Because if you don't, they're going to take advantage of you. They're going to hurt the sheep. We see this again. And there are plenty of other passages about this, by the way, in the New Testament. But we see this again in Acts 20. Acts 20, when Paul is talking to the Ephesian elders before he leaves and goes to Jerusalem, he says this, be on guard for yourselves and for all the flock, among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. I know that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And so what do they need to do? They need to make sure they're not naive about who other people are. They need to make sure that they're on guard against wolves, that when they see a wolf, they can make a judgment about that person and act accordingly. And so while we need to make sure that we don't go too far in our judgments of others, we also need to make sure that we are not naive. There's a balance there that we need to recognize and appreciate. At some point, my judgment is right. At some point, my judgment is necessary. And of course, the burning question at the end of that is this. How do I strike that balance? I want to make sure that I am not too judgmental. But I also want to make sure that I am not too naive. How do I make sure that I find the right balance there? How do I make sure that I measure other people properly? And thankfully, I think right here in this context, Jesus gives us three really great ideas that help us understand how to strike that balance and how to judge righteously and properly the people in our lives. And I think the first thing that we see that Jesus offers us is this. In verse 5, he says, if you're going to judge other people properly, then you need to make sure you remove the plank from your eye, right? That's what we see in Matthew 7 and verse 5. He says, you hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. If I'm going to be able to judge other people properly, then I need to be able to take the plank out of my eye. I need to go through the hard work of looking into my life and looking into my heart and seeing where things aren't right. And I need to do the hard work of making that right. I need to get the plank out of my eye before I start working on the speck in my brother's eye. And there's a really good reason for that. And it really helps us. It really helps us come to the point where we can judge other people righteously and fairly. Because when we have to go through the process of removing a plank from our eye, you know what it does, brothers and sisters? It humbles us. Haven't you found that to be the case? It humbles us to remove planks. When I go through the process of removing a plank from my eye, you know what it does? It destroys any sense of arrogance or superiority. It destroys any idea that when I come to this person and I make a judgment about who they are, it destroys any sense that I am better than them or that I am more worthy than them. You know, maybe they don't have a speck in their eye. Maybe they have a plank just like me. But you know what? I've had a plank in my eye just like they do. When I have to remove my plank, it destroys arrogance and superiority. You know what else it does? It fills us with understanding. It helps us understand why that person got to the point where they are. You know, maybe I don't struggle with the exact same sin that they do, but I do know what it's like to get caught up in a sin, for that sin to dominate you and captivate you, and I do know how hard it is to get rid of it. You know, back when all the stuff about George Floyd was happening, Kevin Clark, you guys know who Kevin Clark is. He did a study with I can't remember if it was with Oak Mountain or with the Kleinwood Church of Christ in Houston. I can't remember which one it was. I watched both of them, but he made a really wonderful point about racism that I thought was extremely good. And he made the point that when he sees somebody who's a racist, he even went to the extreme. He said, when I think about the Grand Dragon of the KKK. You know, I look at that person and I don't look at them as this irredeemable, horrible, innately evil person. You know what I look at them as? I look at them as a prisoner of war. I look at them as somebody who's been deceived. And you know, that doesn't mean that he's justifying their behavior. And that doesn't mean he's saying it's okay that they're a racist or that they believe something that obviously is untrue about the color of people's skin. But you know what it shows us? It shows us that Kevin understands what it's like to remove planks. And he has an understanding for people, even people who would judge him based on the color of his skin. He understands how they could get to where they get, because that's what sin does to people. That's what happens when we remove planks. It gives us an understanding for where people are. It helps us see ourselves clearly and thereby helps us see others clearly. And through it all, it enables us to show mercy to the people that we judge. Let me say this secondly. We need to make sure we remove the plank if we're going to strike that balance. We also need to make sure that we pray for wisdom. You know, I've always struggled with how verse 7 connects to verse 6, right? Because here Jesus is, he's talking about all this judging stuff, and then all of a sudden in verse 7 he starts talking about prayer, and I'm like, where'd you go, Jesus? Why are you talking about this now? And I think when you add all this together, it starts to make sense. Because when you get to the end of verse 6, you're at this point where you're saying, I don't know how to make this judgment. How do I do this? How do I decide this? How do I strike this balance? And Jesus says, you know how you strike this balance? You pray about it. You pray for wisdom. Jesus says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find, knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be open. Or what man is there among you who, when his son asks for a loaf, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, he will not give him a snake, will he? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give what is good to those who ask of him? He says, if you're struggling with knowing how to judge other people or what decision to make about this person who's in your life, you need to pray for wisdom. You need to pray for wisdom in God. God will help you make that decision in the right way. And finally, we strike that balance by making sure we follow the golden rule. That's how Matthew 7:12 fits into this context as well. In everything, therefore, treat people the same way you want them to treat you. For this is the law and the prophets. Isn't that the point Jesus has been making from the beginning? Isn't that the very first thing he said when he said, by your standard of measure, you will be measured? Isn't that basically the same thing as saying, you know what, guys, you need to treat other people the way that you would like to be treated. You need to judge other people in the way that you would like to be judged. And I think, brothers and sisters, if we follow those three pieces of advice from Jesus in Matthew 7, we'll find it easy. We'll find it easy to judge other people rightly. We'll find it easy to make sure that we are merciful in our judgments, that we are understanding of other people, that we do not judge hypocritically or judgmentally, but that we judge with right judgment. And I think, brothers and sisters, we need to make sure that we don't forget what judging is all about. We are living for the example of Christ. And I think that's important that we remember what Christ said about himself in John 12 and verse 47. In John 12 and verse 47, Jesus says, "If anyone hears my sayings and does not keep them, I do not judge him, for I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world." Jesus says, "I didn't come to judge the world, I came to save the world." And that does not mean, again, that Jesus never made a decision about whether or not someone was doing right or wrong, okay? It does not mean Jesus never made a decision about what kind of person somebody was, right? He can look at the Pharisees and call them hypocrites. He can look at the religious leaders and say, "You're a brood of vipers," okay? He can do that. But he says, "I didn't come here to do that. I didn't come here to tell you all the things that you did wrong and make myself look better than you. I didn't come here to make you feel terrible about who you were." Why did he come here? He said, "I came here so I could save you." And that's what you and I need to remember when it comes to the judgments we make about other people. That ultimately, every judgment I make should be made with a view to the salvation of the judged. I am not here to point out everybody's flaws. I am not here to point out how much better I am than somebody else because they're that kind of person and I'm this kind of person. What I'm here to do is to save people, to help people overcome their flaws, to fulfill the mission of Jesus and show them how to overcome their flaws and how to be saved by his blood. So let us remember what we're doing while we're on this earth. Let us be gentle with the weaknesses of others. Let us be compassionate in our judgments. And let us correct others. But let us make sure we do that with mercy and without hypocrisy. And in that way, we can do what Jesus did. We can help other people find healing in Jesus. Now, you may be here this morning and you may know in your heart that you have not found healing in Jesus. And you need to know that if you have not found healing in Jesus, if you've not had your sins cleansed from your soul, that there is a way that you ought to do that. Jesus told us that there's a way that he saves men, and that is when we believe in him and we're willing to repent of the sins that caused him to die on the cross. When we're willing to confess that belief before men, then we can be baptized in water, fully immersed, burying our old self, and we can rise to walk in newness of life, a new creature bound for heaven and eternity with him. Now, if you need to do that this morning, we'd invite you to come to the front and we can help you while we stand and while we sing.